Before we look at God's word, I'd just like to pray. I know your church is suffering at this time, so let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people here this evening. And dear Lord, there are a church who are suffering. And dear Lord, the image you gave me here tonight was you are to don the armour of God, and you are especially to take up his sword, and you are to go and fight. And banish the darkness that is surrounding you. I, the Lord, will be with you. And dear Lord, would you be with them? Would you uplift them? Would you provide power and strength and greatness that these people deserve, dear Lord, because they are your people? Do not let them feel that they're neglected or ignored, dear Lord, because you are a God who answers. And as they cry out to you, dear Lord, you will respond. You will respond. Let them know that you are their God. Dear Lord, they will be bring messages to them about God walking amongst his people. And dear Lord, would you do that for them right here, right now? That, dear Lord, you would walk amongst them. And that the darkness would be banished, it would be gone. And that, dear Lord, you would restore that which once was taken from them. And that they would be, dear Lord, settled. Spreading your glory and influence in this area. I ask this through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ's holy and precious name, and God's people said.
The first reading this evening is taken from James 4, verses 7 to 10. It's James 4, verses 7 to 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Second reading carries on in James chapter 4, starting at verse 13, verses 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Thanks be to God for these readings.
Dear Lord, would you speak to us right now? Would you speak to us? It was cried out to you during the singing of our worship together that you would speak to us, dear Lord. Would you speak to your people here? Speak directly to our hearts and souls and minds. Would you encourage them? And, dear Lord, lead them to pastures that are green. I would ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for inviting me here today. It's always a pleasure to come amongst you and to share worship with you. It's always a blessing, always an encouragement to us. I wonder if you ask the Lord before you do or say anything. And I wonder whose effort you're expending while you're involved in God's work. Is it your own or is it God's? Do you have God in your life, or is he missing? Is it perhaps that God is constantly on your mind, or do you just bring God out on Sunday meetings, Bible study, or when you're in need of God? Or is he instead with you, and are you with him? For it says this in our word, now listen, you who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go and do this or that city. Spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Do you say God is with you? Do you say God is with us? It's very positive about this. Do you really believe it? And does God experience it? Does he know that if you invite him, that you welcome him, that he's amongst you and share him together? Do you experience him so he may experience you? If you do, and that is true, then as an individual and as a group, you're different to the world. As a fellowship, your life changes. And as a church, you are a blessing. When God is with you, is what you say and how you act and your response different from the words. How you love, how you live with your family, with your friends, and especially your church. Are you an example to the world? Is God with you? If he is, then your life should be transformed. Those places where once you failed, should now you have victory over. Those dark aspects of your life have now light exposed upon them. Those dark secret things which you once did, you know you can no longer do or indulge in because God knows all about it and you know it. Does this describe you? And are you free and are you living in the freedom of God and the light that he brings? As Christians, we sometimes forget or perhaps feel that God isn't on our side, but the Lord is on our side, for you are his children. The Lord desires to bless and encourage you and enable and give you the best. What we can tend to say, though, most Christians do say and cry out and say, woe is me, I have been found out. And with false humility and false pride, we roll ourselves up into darkness and stop God in his tracks. Because we know we're involved in this, we know we're involved in that. Rather than Don Christ and God saying, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Follow me, be with me. If we wall ourselves up, we then stop God in his tracks. He can do nothing with us. Because we have no faith and we have no belief. You see, God expects us to do good and not evil. But how do we do good? How do we cultivate good? Well, he gives us a set of gifts, doesn't he? What are these gifts? Well, we're told in Galatians they are these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If God is with us, then do people know you by your fruit? And they are the fruits of the Spirit. Do they know that you have love? That you are a people who are able to come to others and know that you will reach out to others and they will be loved? Or do you judge and I'm angry? Do you have a life which is filled with power of the Holy Spirit? So that you can know the joy of God. Can others come to you and share in that gift of power because you have that power and you can provide that power to others because your life has such abundance of it? So they too might enjoy the joy because you are full of the Spirit. Forbearance and kindness. Are you able to put up with those around you? Or do they get in the way and mess up your agenda? What about self-control? Are you in control? Because God is in control of your life. or are you out of control? And when people look at you, do they see you? Is God with you? If God is with you, then all is possible. You see, without Him, all that we do will crumble and fail. It will fall apart. As we try to do these things on our own, for our reading says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you even don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Our God is for us. God is on our side. And it may perhaps feel at times that He isn't, or He's absent, or perhaps He's gone somewhere else. Perhaps we feel that perhaps we've done something and He's distanced from us, and that's why so many things perhaps in our lives are going wrong. But this isn't our God. Our God is with us. He's on our side. Do you believe that? If it's in times of struggling, if it's difficult for you, you know, you should use your secret weapon. You should use your secret weapon. I wonder if you know what your secret weapon is. We're using it tonight, actually. The mouth. And speaking into existence. God has told you. God has told you. We seem to be very reluctant to do it as Christians, don't we? Tonight, a young man has been talking about God, talking about Jehovah. Remember what God did. He spoke existence into being, didn't He, by speaking His word. Why not use your secret weapon? Open your mouths. Use that instrument and bring into existence the very word of God alive in our lives, and to others can see what God is doing. You know, sometimes we perhaps find it difficult to speak to others. We seem to be in a situation with our family or friends or work colleagues. And we know perhaps we should say something. Those first few words, I think, especially if we've ever prayed out loud, it's very difficult, isn't it? We generally prepare everything on a piece of paper to begin with, which is a good way to start. I know in our Bible study group, that's an opportunity for them to pray out loud. Because it's in a more friendly situation. But it's a difficult thing to do. And to speak about God is a difficult, especially amongst those who believe or unbelievers. But if we're willing to say what God's done for us, He's saved me, He's healed me, even though perhaps we're going through a time of sickness. He loves me. He's made me a righteous person. He's rescued me from the darkness of this world. He enables me to stand upon a foundation. And He's given me His words of wisdom in my life. Just say words like this. We only start off with a small thing, perhaps you're saying is, do you know, don't God loves you? It's just something as simple as that. Simple as that. I've told you about using His word as a weapon. Perhaps you wouldn't remember if you're going through a time where there's strife and struggling, and you're in the middle of an argument, you can just say, and I've seen it because I've used it myself, it's like hitting somebody across the face, but you're not actually doing that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this stops now. And you can do that in any situation that you are. It works, it's effective. Using our Lord's name, not in vain, but as a weapon in battle, and a weapon in the darkness of this world. And if this week perhaps you'll be encouraged to use your secret weapon. For our God spoke and creation came into His existence. Are you willing to speak to bring Him in existence in your life and others? Or is it that perhaps you're too busy doing something because you believe it says in God's word, those who help themselves, God helps. It's not spoken by a man, it's not in God's word. You believe that God will only help you if you help yourself. As Christians, we have to stop thinking that we have to do to achieve. Instead, we should believe and trust and receive. Notice that word, receive. And act as though we have been given it and enable its existence to come into our life and thanks God for that provision. We have to rest, you see, in his works and what Jesus has done. This doesn't mean we don't have to be active, but we should be resting in the works of Christ to be effective. What do I mean by this? You see, the glory needs to belong to God. If you go in, and I'm sure you've all heard about this, that there are some people who will pay someone else to do their driving lesson for them. I failed twice, my third time. I didn't pay for somebody else. But you know, and people will actually pay people to do their test for them, won't they? So they can pass. Yeah? What? Is that any sense of achievement? No sense of achievement. But if you're involved with God and something takes place and it's miraculous, then the glory can go to him. Because as I said earlier, if we put things together, they soon crumble. Just look at the most of the world's architecture. Crumbled and it fails, doesn't it? But our God brings a universe into existence which is will last, and it's beautiful and amazing to behold. And the glory goes to him. You know, we can work on times what we believe working for God to a point of exhaustion. It can affect our mental and physical being. We could be working so hard that God is kept out of it. And you can never then give the glory to him for the work that he has done. He has said his glory is supposed to fill the earth. Are we keeping his glory away because of what we're doing? Or are we accepting that our God is amongst us and Christ is accomplishing what is required because he can use you to perform his miracles in his world today? He can use you because you are so precious. He can trust you because you trust him. God places us into positions when he's ready and is ready to prepare his completion that he has worked and put together, for what he has created, so the glory might go to him. If you think about it, if you look back into Genesis, did God send man into his creation on day one, or two, or the fifth day? No. After his creation was completed, so the glory might go to God. So that we can say, look what God has done. Be involved in God's work, but enable him to have the glory. Don't try to create and put together something that God doesn't want, but rather allow God to bless you so that you might rest in his work, so then you can say, look at what God has created, look what God has done. And this affects our prayer life. I wonder if you're prayers are full of doubt. You don't really believe things will happen. Asking God for this and that, and yet perhaps you're failing to see what God has already done for you. You see, we have to change the way we think, what we believe, how we move, and no longer have any doubt, and instead receive what God has already done. If you need healing, then receive what Christ has already done for you. If your ministry is not growing, then allow God to grow it. and receive the blessing. If you're struggling in your faith, then accept the belief that God desires to plant inside of you and wants to provide for you, and accept his blessings so that his desires can then pour into your life. Stop trying to make God do what he has already done. Stop trying to be religious over the truth that God has already given you. Ensure that your prayers are not full of doubt and fear. Instead, they should be full of belief and trust, because what God desires to do amongst you. Don't put any get-out clauses. Rather, let them be full of acceptance and allow you to receive God's blessing. If we don't change, you see, we then live in doubt. It's not what God is doing. It is all about what God has done. You see, he has already delivered you. He has already healed you. He has already provided what we need. Not only what we can see, but what we can touch. It's all clearly before us if we would just see it. You perhaps may believe that everything is against you, when in fact God is with you, God is for you, God desires to do anything and be amongst you and build you up and enable you to be the force this world needs, because you're the only light that this world can have. And all you need to do is trust God, to believe that he will take care of you. Let's watch a short video to see perhaps what our trust in God can be like. Thank you.
I just don't trust
you. You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't. Stay here. This is the What do you trust in? Is it Jesus, or is it something else? Is it the creator of the universe or your pension plan? Is it the one you love, or is it Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who has taken away your sin, provided you with healing, sorted out eternity for you, taken your punishment that you deserve, that has set you free? Is it he? he or something or someone else? Is it this church or fellowship? These are all good things, but do you trust in Jesus in exclusion to everything else? If you were in that position of Laura, would you have fallen backwards? Do you consider God in your decisions, your wants, your needs, your desires, your hunger, your lusts? Do you reach out to him and say, Lord, I trust you to lead me. I trust you to take me. I trust you because you will lead me to pastures that are green and have goodness. It's okay. Do you pause and seek God? Do you ask God? Do you show God? This is what I desire to do. Is this your will? Have you given me this idea? Is this your purpose? For I need you involved in this. No one and nothing else will do. Do you recognize what he has done for you? You know, he sent his son to die. He took away your sin. He made you righteousness. He has given you the keys to freedom. He entered the dark, cold dungeon that you made for yourself, and he has set you free. He took your hand and he led you into the light. He allowed you and is encouraging you to enter his kingdom. But do you have the trust? Are you willing to fall backwards as though there's no one there? And are you seeking only him? Ask yourself, what is the reality of your life? Is it in the things of this world or are they of God? Are you embracing what God can do for you because he's done all that is required? Or are you relying on your own time and efforts, your finances, and others' encouragement? He asks of you to trust in him, to rest in him. Allow him to do the good work so that you can come, so others might know and see your work, so therefore the miracles that are taking place can be seen in you and through you. And God's work and glory may be given to him, and this world will be filled with it. This day, are you ready to enter the promise? Are you ready to enter the promised land that God has laid up for you? A place which is full of blessing, of miracles of God, so that the world would see the glory of God amongst you. This day, are you ready? Do you desire to enter that place? Are you willing to fall back as though there is no one there and rest in Christ, so that the glory would go to him? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people here tonight and ask, dear Lord, that they would trust you. They would fall back, even though perhaps they feel that no one is there. Dear Lord, we know our time on this world is short, but dear Lord, we can have such an impact if we rest in you and allow you to work. Lord, we do provide power for your people here this evening. Give them weapons and courage to speak of you, of the great and wonderful things that you have done, for you have saved them. You have storehouses full of blessing, but if we just claim them with our mouths, not in arrogance or in pride, but with gratitude
and know the blessings of where they come from, which is you. Blessings of healing and love, freedom from depression, the hunger of loneliness. Bless your people here, simply dear. Let them have courage and faith in you, so they will not be afraid to fall backwards. But you would catch them and say, rest in you. Because they believe in you. It's a gift for you. They have a hunger for you. I'm sure, dear Lord, they hate the darkness that's in this area. And the fact so many people are headed for destruction. Enable them to be warriors for you, dear Lord. Warriors. So that, dear Lord, they would win this land for you. And say, Lord, the glory goes to you because you are doing the work through us. You can't do it. Only you can build your church. Build your church. Build your church. Let us share the Lord's prayer together. Our Father,